Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Keith Isaac from Castelnau Wine Agencies. How are you, Keith?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We're here in your lovely Chelsea office, and last week we were talking about Castelnau, getting a feeling for what it's like being an agency. But I actually met you at the Sellers in the Sky Awards, which is the wine awards by Business Traveller.
That's right.
That's right. And you guys represent British Airways.
Yeah, we do all the sourcing for British Airways Business Class, so Club World.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that since 2010. BA went out to tender in the course of 2009, having decided to outsource a lot of their procurement and catering functions, of which wine was a part. And they had a big tender process and started with 50-odd companies and narrowed it down and down and down, and decided to work with two companies, one for first class, which is Bibendum, and then one for business class, which is us.
And who does cattle class?
Cattle they do themselves, though we have an input and we help them taste, but they mainly kept cattle in-house.
Cattle class. It is cattle class, though, isn't it?
So the economy cabins we have an input with, but not in the way that we do for Club World.
Okay.
Which is long-haul business class.
Long-haul business class, okay. And how did you go at the Sellers in the Sky?
We were very pleased. We won second overall for the best business class wine list. Mm-hmm. And Champagne Castelnau came third in the business class champagnes, which we were very pleased with. To get second in the business class cabin, we were really pleased with, because some of the competing airlines don't have a first class cabin. They just have one premium cabin combining business class and first class. So we're up against some people who do just have the one premium cabin. So we're very pleased to get second in that.
And does that mean that when they sell tickets, the price is somewhere between business class and first class as well?
Probably depends on the route and where those airlines are competing. For some of them it does. Some of them, though, probably can't sustain a first class cabin, so just have a business class cabin. But yeah, Obviously they have potential to spend a bit more on what they spend.
Yeah,
within the cabin, be that on catering or in-flight entertainment or seat numbers or configuration, those sorts of things.
How does BA choose the wines for each leg?
The way BA work the lists, we've moved in the last few months to a tiering system. So there's focus on the most important routes in terms of competition and revenue as well, so that we are favouring the most important routes. And we will try and strike a balance of the wines on those routes. So, for example, Tier 1 routes cover some US destinations and some Far Eastern destinations. And we'll try and get a balance of wines. On a Club World wine list, we have four, two red, two white. Sometimes that's two European and two non-European. Not necessarily now, it can be one European. One list we've just done has one French, one Australian, one Californian, and one Italian from memory. So we have a range of wines.
And you choose, so if Peter McCombie, I was talking to him recently, and he seemed to think that BA is more likely, if you're flying to America, you're more likely to get an American wine on your list than if you're flying to Singapore.
Broadly speaking, that's correct, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We do also try and have a focus of where the planes are going to, so there is some sense of regionality as well. But we're more concerned of getting a balance and a contrast of the four wines on the list. So, for example, we have two white wines. The obvious combination would be a Sauvignon Blanc and a Chardonnay. Yeah. And the Sauvignon might be clean and fresh and zippy like Sancerre or Marlborough. And the Chardonnay possibly be barrel fermented, not necessarily. So we're getting a contrast in grape variety and a contrast in style.
Yeah.
And in addition, we'll have a contrast in country of origin. So it's most unlikely that we'd have two French white wines on, for example.
Yeah.
But quite possible we'd have a Sancerre on with a Chardonnay from Carneros.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps. Or from Margaret River, depending where we're going to.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay, so that's your choice of wines. And how do you decide on that? Do you go, okay, we choose a load of aromatic wines and taste them and see what happens?
Or? No, we tend to say we're going to look at a number of we're going to look at red wines, and we'll say, fine, we need to buy so many for coming months, and we will do a lot of tasting. So we will taste literally hundreds of wines in the course of a year. We may do a couple of thousand wines, and we will taste not just. I mean, the final tasting might be here in the office, where we always taste blind in silence. It's two of us. We mark on a 20-point scale, so out of 10 with half marks. Our pass mark is 6.5. If we both agree, wine passes, goes through to the next stage. If one passes and one doesn't, then we will retaste and we'll decide which of us is right and which isn't. But before we've done that, we will have been tasting at Vigny Sud in Loire-Salon in Angers. I'm off to Provine next week. There's a lot of background tasting. The generic annual tastings of wines in Australia, wines in New Zealand, wines in California, wines in Argentina. There's an awful lot of tasting done before we then pull samples in here and taste maybe 100 wines a day, depending on the time of year and how many we want to buy. But there's an awful lot of tasting done.
Okay, so if I'm a winemaker in New Zealand, being a Kiwi, I always say that, or Australia, or wherever, How do I get my wine on BA list? Do you just randomly turn up and say, I'll taste your wines, and then you're away? Or do they submit the wines for you to try? Or
a bit of both. We hope that we're picking up wines that are in the market, but we do get people write to us saying, I think I've got a wine that you should look at. And we will say, fine, if their timing's lucky, we may say, fine, we happen to be looking at New Zealand Sauvignon in a month's time. What volume can you do? What's the vague kind of price level? And if there's a volume we can work with, what we don't want is someone saying, I've got a great wine and I can do you 50 cases, because obviously that's no good to us.
Yeah.
But if someone says, yeah, I could do 1,000 cases of this at this kind of indicative price, would you be willing to put it into a tasting? The answer is yes, we would.
Okay, and it's about that volume, is it 1,000 cases?
Depends what the wine is. I mean, if we're buying Chablis Premier Cru, we're buying much more expensive wines, we may buy as little as a few hundred cases. We seldom buy more than 3,000 cases of a wine, but we have a lot of planes in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want to be printing every wine. Well, we print the wine list every month, but we don't want to be changing all four wines every month, because it's just too much work and we end up with stock in all over the place. So typically a parcel of wine we buy will be between 500 dozen and 3,000 dozen. That's broad sort of terms.
Yeah, okay. And what input does BA have on it? Because you said you won the tendering process. Is the tendering process just to manage all the wines, or manage the finances as
We work with BA on the finances of it. The way it has been that we agree a budget with them, and they ask us to spend their money as sensibly as possible. Ultimately, it's their money. And if they say, well, actually, we think this wine that you passed is just as good and it's a bit cheaper, obviously price is always a concern.
Yeah.
But they use us for our expertise. So it's a collaboration, and we work with them on that. Apart from doing the choosing, we also write all the menus.
Yeah.
And we write crew training info every month, and we do crew training. So any member of BA cabin crew who's been trained may had to listen to me on a video clip talking about food and wine matching, or the styles of wine that we think work well in the air, or some combination of all of that.
The crew training is something I wanted to just touch on a little bit. How much crew training do they get? You know, do they get just every month they get a fact sheet of the wines that they're going to be flying, or is it?
It's a combination of different things. And you'd have to ask BA sort of press office about the training program that someone joining the airline would go on.
Yeah.
But certainly with the recent relaunch of Club World, there was a series of training days focusing on the new elements of Club World training. And for some of those people going through that training had been in BA for 10 months, some had been there for 25 years.
Yeah.
And that was focusing on the new elements of the Club World offer. And I was talking about wine and about how we structure a wine list and the styles of wine we look for.
Yeah.
And someone else was talking about catering and someone else was talking about new bedding. So all those elements that come together within the Club World cabin. That was with the relaunch. As far as the routine, I'm flying on Tuesday, where am I going, what's the food and wine offer? There's a briefing session before every flight where the cabin services manager, cabin services director, will go through with his or her team. This is the food on today's flights. This is the wine offer, and there is a sheet with information written up on all the wines served on that flight in every galley with the notes on the food.
Yep.
And it's up to the team on board the plane to look through that, to familiarise themselves with it, to learn a little bit more, so that if they're having a conversation with a passenger, with a customer, then they can show a bit more, they can share some information with them or give them some reassurance.
Okay, and just before we finish up, how do you choose the styles of wine? We spoke to Peter McCombie a wee mm-hmm. while ago, and he said that some wines show better in flight than others. Do you take that into consideration, or how do you take that?
Absolutely, we do. We have a really clear idea in our minds as the style of wine we're looking for. So on red wines, we want lots of fruit and ripe tannins. And those are by far the two most important things, because any wine that's got slightly scratchy tannins, that's exacerbated in the air. Any wine that hasn't got fruit will be struggling to make itself smelt
yeah.
in a pressurized cabin as well. So for red wines, lots and lots of fruit and ripe tannins. And we're very clear in our minds that if we find that on the ground, that translates to a nice drink in the air.
Yeah.
We're not trying to double guess. And I hear some people say, well, this is okay, but it would be great in the air. No, it's got to be great here for those reasons I've said, and then it will be very nice in the air as well. There's no kind of, it's not nice here, but it will be okay in a pressurized cabin, because it won't be. It will be less impressive.
So the negatives are exasperated in the air.
I think they're exaggerated, yeah.
Yeah.
And then for white wines, fruit, we don't mind relatively high acidity, so we use quite a lot of Sauvignon Blanc. Be that Marlborough or be that Loire, South Africa sometimes, Chile sometimes. But they've got to be bright and expressive and have lots of fruit.
Yeah. And so acidity's not a problem. What about VA, volatile acidity? Because I would have thought in a lower pressure that would actually become more.
Yeah,
well.
I mean, any wine that's got a slightest hint of VA, so it's not going to get through our tasting.
Yeah. That must be tough with sweet wines, though, because a lot of sweet wines show VA.
Some sweet wines show VA. We don't serve a sweet wine in Club World. In the first class cabin, there is a dessert wine, be that Sauternes or a straw wine from South Africa or a dessert wine from somewhere else. I haven't thought about that with the VA element. You'd have to ask people who handle first class for that. But certainly on a table wine, I pick up VA at quite low levels, and if there's anything that's volatile, it's just not going to get through our tastings.
All right. Because I notice, you know, VA is almost a byproduct of stressed yeast and low fat sweet wines.
You think of some of the wines at Cellars in the Sky the other night?
No, I didn't, because there wasn't. Yeah, actually, the Sauternes had a little bit of VA.
There was a bit of VA on the Sauternes.
Yeah.
But within what you'd expect for a quality Sauternes with a few years' age on.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was just wondering what was going on there and how that changed, that's all. Because when I spoke to Peter, we didn't mention VA, we didn't talk about it, but a lower pressure, because VA is just stuff that volatile acidity, it boils out of the wine.
It'll be more volatile if it's pressured, yeah.
Yeah, if it's lower pressure. So I was just thinking about it then, actually. But
For us, traces of VA that you can pick up is a wine fault, so it's just not pretty. It's not going to get past our tasting plan.
So no Barolos in the sky.
Finally, we talk about Barolo and Barbaresco quite a lot, but we've never put one on, partly more because of the tannins than because of any volatile acidity, because those big for me, and this may be my prejudice against Nebbiolo, I just find the tannins too much. And I think they are too, become so prominent in a cabin that we just don't do them. Occasionally, we've done very good Chianti in Chianti Classico. But we've not listed any Nebbiolo wines in the years we've done it. That's not to say we won't, but and it's not through lack of trying to find samples, but we haven't found one that we think would work. We have done Barbera. Which has got obviously quite bright, fresh acidity. But it's easier to make a wine from Barbera that's round and coloured and it's got some glossy fruit than it is from Nebbiolo.
Yeah, no, Nebbiolo can be a bit of a tricky one, isn't it? I, whenever I go to a Barolo taste, my mouth comes out numb.
Well, exactly. you imagine what that's going to be like in a in an airline cabin. It's not much fun.
Brilliant.
When there's lots of other wines that we can make fun.
Yeah, no, exactly. Peter seemed to think that Shirazes and Syrahs are quite good in the sky.
Because you can get ripe tannins and big glossy fruit. We put an Australian Shiraz into the competition this year. And the way the scoring's done, as you heard when Charles Metcalf was talking about it, it's the aggregate of all the wines you submit. So you need to submit 4 good wines and a good champagne.
Yeah.
And they must all score well.
Yeah.
But if you get one that drags your average down, then you're not going to be in the medals.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time thinking, is this a better example of Barossa Shiraz than this is of Pinot Noir from Sonoma?
Yeah.
And we will have 20 wines here saying, well, which has got more chance of doing well in the competition?
Yeah.
Then it comes down to how it shows on the day, as I'm sure Peter McCombie said.
Yeah, it's always like the classic question is, which is your favourite child?
Yeah, absolutely. It's December. In fact, we are doing a tasting tomorrow because there's an American wine competition as well, run by an American title called Global Traveller, and their competition is called Wines on the Wing. And in fact, one of our New Zealand Sauvignons got the best white wine a couple of years ago in the whole competition, and that included first class and business class. And that was a business class, that was the Tiki Sauvignon that we put in from Marlborough.
Oh, nice.
It was a couple of years ago. So yeah, we have our selection tasting for that tomorrow.
Perfect.
To decide what we put in for that one.
All right then, Keith. We'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Cheers, mate.